If you would please turn to the book of Luke and chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We'd like to read verse 11 through verse 19. Luke 17, 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down at his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. With this time of year being upon us, I thought it fitting to address the matter of Thanksgiving. No, not to give a historical review of how the holiday came into being, although the first Thanksgiving was truly a response to God in heaven. Nor am I concerned about the family discussions of those sitting around the bountiful table and each one tells of something for which they are thankful for. But rather, I would like to take this occasion to give you a reminder to give thanks. I think this is a good place to start. This is a good example for us, that which we've read here in our text, and I trust it shall bless your heart. And so the title of my message is A Reminder to Give Thanks. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today and those who are able to be with us. And we just give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And you've heard our prayers. And the songs we pray have been also be received as pleasing in your sight. And now we ask that as the word goes forth that, Lord, as you've spoken to my heart, that I might speak it unto them and share what you've laid upon my heart, that we all would be reminded to render thanks to you. So whether there's any here today that is lost or whether we're all saved, Father, you're so good to us and so kind to us, and we want to thank you and we want to remember that you deserve the honor and the glory. We do pray for those that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that they would be saved. And we'll commit this time to you. We love you and we praise you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to give you a reminder to give thanks. I'm going to begin right here in the text and then I'm going to show you some New Testament verses that would teach us that very thing. And then we will look at some verses from the Psalms and then we'll come back to our passage and close with some thoughts that we find here. A few things I would like to point out to you in this text. First of all, you begin in verse 12 and you'll notice that as Jesus was going about his ministry, he passed through Samaria and Galilee and he came to a certain village. And what we find in verse 12 is that there are people in need. Now there are people that have all sorts of needs. What we have listed in the passage are those that are lepers. And the leprosy was the dreaded disease of the day. It was a very common disease, and it was often fatal, and it was incurable, just very, very difficult disease. I would liken it to our society, perhaps, to the matter of HIV and that kind of a thing. It was just a very dreaded disease. And so we find these people that are in great need. Now, your need may not be leprosy, or it may not be HIV or anything along that line. It might be some other kind of need, but just keep in mind, we all have needs, don't we? Well, these people had great need. In verse 13, we read in the passage that when they knew Jesus was near, they lifted up their voice and they cried out to him and they asked for mercy. Jesus, would you have mercy on me. They cried out to God for help. And I'll tell you, that's important, my friend, to realize that you're a person in need, and then you can cry out to God for help. Now here in verse 14, Jesus answered their request, and he gave unto them. And so he said to these lepers, go show yourself to the priest. The reason he did so is because that's a responsibility and obligation that under the Mosaic law, that when the Jews were healed from the leprosy, they were to go and offer an offering. And so he tells them, go and go to the priest. And they, remarkably, before they were healed, got up and started going to the priest like he instructed them to do. And we find in the passage that they were healed. And so here in Luke 17, verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. What a tremendous story we have here. Of people in great need, crying out to God, and God meeting those needs. But then in verse 15 and verse 16, we see that, well, as these 10 were leaving to go to the priest, they were healed. And only one, after he recognized that he was healed, returned back to Jesus Christ. And verse 16 says, he fell on his face at his feet, fell before the Lord, and he gave thanks. And, he came back. But the issue here is that this guy wasn't even a Jew. Now, you would recognize that as Jewish individuals and they're in that town in Galilee, that they would be responsive to God in heaven. They would be pursuant of Jehovah. And a thing like this happening would be very indicative in their heart to respond and give glory and to give thanks. But that's not true. I think, in my opinion, I would see that there's one Samaritan and there were nine Jews. And when they were all healed, all 10 of these guys were healed of their leprosy. The only one that returned to Jesus Christ to give thanks was the Samaritan, the stranger, the outcast, as it were, from the nation of Israel. Now, if you look at verse 17, Jesus took notice of the unthankfulness of the others. Verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now that's a good question, isn't it? Where are the 9? I'm not going to ask you to respond publicly. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and tell me what you think. But what would your opinion be of the 9? If you were there and you read the story, you certainly have a discernment. You have an opinion about the 9, don't you? What do you conclude about these 9? 10 lepers were crying out to God for help and for mercy. And only one came back. What about the 9? What kind of conclusion do you reach about the 9? Ungrateful people, aren't they? Ingrates is a term that we use in our society. Think of this story and let it speak to your heart as a reminder to give thanks. Now, as promised, I said I would offer you some New Testament instruction as to our thanksgiving. And so I invite you to turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I submit that every one of us, and whether you make a profession of faith in Christ or not, every one of us ought to recognize who God is and what God has done and render thanks to Him. God deserves all honor and glory and praise, and we ought to be a thankful people, especially as Christians. We ought to be thankful. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to offer you a few verses here. I have 5 of them that we'll look at in the New Testament, and then we'll go to the book of Psalms. But the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So he talks about the matter of having a mind of God and being Spirit-filled. And he says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I submit that we ought to be a thankful people as we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-minded. And our focus is upon the things of God. Part of that ought to result in a thankfulness. Turn, please, over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. One verse here, verse 6, and I realize this is a discussion about prayer, but notice this inclusion here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious over anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, notice, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We ought to be a thankful people. We ought to always be praying and seeking God's face. But prayer is just not a matter of, God, would you do this and would you do that and give me this and give me that. In our prayers, and I mention it to you on a fairly regular basis, in all of our praying, we should not only offer up our prayers before God, but we also ought to give Him thanks. That's part of it. Our prayer should be, thank you, God, for who you are, what you have done. We ought to be a thankful people. Go over again another to Colossians chapter 3, just another book to the right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And so as we're associated, this thanksgiving is associated with the idea of being spirit-minded, that we do everything, word or deed, all of our activity ought to be done for the Lord. And He says, as we do that, we ought to be giving thanks. So part of my life, part of my doing ought to be, I give God the glory, give Him the honor in all of my activity, but also in giving of thanks. We ought not leave that off. It ought not be remiss. When was the last time you got before God and said, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for providing. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When was the last time you told God thanks? We ought to give thanks to Him in everything. Now, another book over 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. The phrasing here is similar to what we just saw back in Ephesians, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Our thanksgiving should not be discriminatory. We ought to give God thanks for the bad things as well as the good things. And I know it's harder to do that, isn't it? It's hard when bad things come upon us and things that we don't like come upon us to give God thanks. But what does He say in the passage? What are we being taught? In everything, give thanks. I want to remind you, my dear friend, that God is on His throne. God is a sovereign God. And God is in control. And if He allows bad things to come into my life, well, I've got a promise out of Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for good, that them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And I may not like it, and it may not be fun, but I know that God is going to work it out for my good and for His glory. And we can give thanks for that. I don't like to suffer no more than you do. But God is working out His purpose and His providence in our lives, and we must learn to give Him thanks in all things. We're normally just giving thanks on those things that have been positive for us. When God has done this for us and God has blessed us, God has given to us. We might say thank you, but when the things are negative, we often don't think, you know what, God is still a God to be praised and glorified. I would encourage you to let these verses speak to your heart. One other New Testament passage, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. While you turn over there, again, the title of the message is A Reminder to Give Thanks. Are the verses doing that? Are you being reminded? I pray that you are. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do you speak, God, thank you? Do you testify, this is what God has done for me? Do you witness and tell others, this is God's working in my life? Give God thanks. With that encouragement, go back to the book of Psalms, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 103, and we're really just going to look at 103, 104, 105, and we're going to go through 108. We're not going to read every verse. Don't be concerned about that. But I want to begin in Psalm 103. Again, just a reminder to give thanks. And so here are a few verses from the Psalms on Thanksgiving. Now in the 103rd Psalm, what we'll read here in verse 1 down through verse 8 is that God is good and He gives to His people. And I'm glad that He does. Here it is, Psalm 103, verse 1. It's a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that is oppressed. He hath made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And we'll stop right there. But do you see that God is good, and God gives to His people? I remind you of a New Testament passage over in the book of James in chapter 1 and in verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And I submit unto you, my dear friend, that everything that's good in your life, anything positive, anything that's a blessing, anything that's good, anything that's decent is a gift from God. As a matter of fact, when the trial and tribulation comes and God is working that for our good and for His honor and for His glory and He's molding us and shaping us to be like Jesus Christ, that too is a gift from God, although we don't see it as a gift. In everything, give thanks. God is so good to us. Psalm 104. The first verse only, and just realize that you ought to give God thanks because simply of who He is. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Simply because of who God is. And there are a myriad of verses I could lead you to, but simply because of God being God. And God is a sinless God, a pure God, a holy God. God knows all things, has all power. God is a sovereign God. Ah, give God thanks for who He is. You say, well, I don't have any reason to give thanks to anything. You'll bet recognize who God is. And that'll give you a reason to give thanks. Psalm 105. So we want to give thanks because of who God is. Here in verse 1 through verse 3, we'll see that well, we ought to give God thanks because of what He does, but also notice as we read these verses that God is glorified when we do give thanks. Now, we saw that over in Hebrews chapter 13, but listen to the psalmist here. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Wow, look at that. God is glorified when we speak His name and when we tell about what God has done. And so as you witness to your coworkers or your neighbors or your fellow schoolmates or your family members, you know what? When you tell about what God is doing in your life and what God has done and what He's going to continue to do, you know what? You glorify God through that. Let us be a thankful people. Psalm 106. God is good, isn't He? God is gracious, and He is a great God, and He has done so many wonderful things. He deserves it all. And in like manner, Psalm 106, verse 1 down through verse 5 tells us that God is to be praised for His blessings upon His people. If I should ask you, have you been blessed? And are you being blessed? I think all of us would have a recognition, yeah, God has done great things for me. You might even be lost as a goose in a windstorm, but the fact is, you know, there's still good things that God has provided for you. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance. God has blessed, and because of that, he ought to be praised. Psalm 107. Simple statement here, but God is good and God is merciful. For that He is to be praised. Verse 1, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad for God's mercy? Mercy is God not doing what we deserve. We might deserve judgment, but God withholds that. That's mercy. And He says that God is good, and His mercy endures forever. I am so thankful for God's mercy, that He's been merciful to me and merciful to you. One last passage here in the Psalm, Psalm 108. And simply we are reminded that God is to be praised and glorified. Oh, I tell you, He deserves it. Psalm 108, verse 1. Again, a Psalm of David. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, and I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto Thee among the nations. For Thy mercy is great above the heavens, and Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and Thy glory above all the earth. I tell you, God deserves honor and glory and praise. Have you been reminded to be thankful? Go back to our passage, Luke 17. I have some thoughts in closing as we return back to where we began. We saw the story of the 10 lepers and how God had blessed them, and only one came back, and Jesus made a point to make a lesson of it. As we've been reminded of these verses, old and new, to be thankful. Let's look back into Luke 17. First of all, I would mention unto you, as we once again enter into verse 12, that there are many who are in need. It talks about 10 men that were lepers. Could have been one, could have been two. Just in practicality and in application, I submit unto you that 10 just says, you know what, there's more than just one. That there's a lot of people. And every one of us has, don't you have needs? Don't you have problems and cares and woes and afflictions and troubles and trials and afflictions? We all have them, don't we? Everyone in this world has them. This is a world of sorrow. This is a tough life. It really is. None of us are exempt. There were 10 men that were lepers. And I recognize that the needs may be varied and they might be many. And it might be physical. It might be spiritual. And it could be a host of things of which we are faced with. But we all have needs. These guys had a need. And as we mentioned earlier, what we found is that they cried out to God. And I encourage you to do that very thing. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you're going through. But God does. And I would encourage you to take that burden to the Lord and leave it there. Especially as a child of God, cast your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you. Enter to the throne of grace that you might cry out to Him and find mercy in the time of need. These guys had great need. They cried out to God. That's a good thing. Some of you are here. You're most likely outside of Christ. I don't know your heart, but in a crowd like this, there are usually lost people. And I would submit unto you, if you're lost today, the greatest need is you're dead in trespasses and sins, and you need the Savior, because right now you're on the broad road which leads to destruction. Your greatest need is spiritual life in Christ Jesus, to have forgiveness and cleansing from your sin. And that's a great need. Would you cry out to God? Whatever your need is, whatever your burden, whatever is on your heart, would you be willing to cry out to God? Now, these guys did that. They cried out to Jesus. And Jesus was merciful. And he said, go, show yourself to the priests. And he healed them. They were cleansed, we read in the passage. And perhaps today, God will be merciful to you. And he will hear your prayer. Sometimes, things aren't fixed simply because you failed to ask. You just won't go to God. You just won't speak to Him. And James addresses that in James chapter 4. You have not because you ask not. I encourage you, whatever your burden is today, physical, spiritual, anywhere, any kind of concept that this world can bring upon us, you have need. Recognize that need. Take it to God. Cry out to Him. And I pray that God would have mercy upon you. Now, these guys were saved. And if God hears your prayer and God blesses and God provides and God directs, and maybe He won't take it away, but He'll give you grace to endure it. Remember, He told the Apostle Paul that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul prayed, take away this affliction. He said, I prayed three times that God said, my grace is sufficient. God still hears your prayer. He just told you no, but He's going to give you grace to endure it. And when God does all those things in your life, will you stop and say thanks? Will you be willing to go back to Him and say, God, you know what truth is? I cried out to you and I asked you to do this. And you have. And I just want to thank you. You realize in the ministry that I've had for the 28 years that I served the Lord, I've been in the hospital. I don't know how many occasions I've talked to people that was on the sick bed, lying there. And they would say, you know what? I told God, if God get me out of this, when I get out of here, I'm going to serve Him. And I don't know how many, I cannot keep count of those who said they would do that and God would bless them, raise them up off the sick bed. They would get out of the hospital and you know what? They never darkened the door of the church and they never followed Jesus Christ. They never kept their word. That's unthankfulness. That's an ingrate in my perspective. God heard their cry, heal me, raise me up. And there is no response toward God. Let us not be like that. Let us be thankful to God for all that He's done and all that He is doing and all that He shall do. Let us be reminded to be thankful. Now, as we look into this passage and the emphasis of which Jesus gives, and I want to finish here in just a moment, I want to express to you, look at verse 15, that sad as it is, there were very few who recognized God's working. As a matter of fact, out of the 10, we only had one. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Sad that it is. And we see it in our society, don't we? Don't you find, especially in American society, we're a culture that's an unthankful people? I see that. I think there's been so much entitlement and so much giving and giving and giving that people come to expect it and they just think that they're owed it and they cannot say thank you. Well, I'm going to address that in just a second. I don't know why these guys didn't come back. Only one turned back to give thanks, but the fact is nine went on their merry way. And haven't you done things for people and they never stopped to say thanks? Man, I'll never forget when I was in high school. Man, that was way back in the mid-70s. That was the time of the upper thrust of the women's movement and all that. We were going, my high school was a large campus style high school, went from building to building. And I remember one time I was walking ahead of this girl. And so, you carried your high school books and all that. We didn't have backpacks back then. We weren't smart enough for backpacks. We carried our books. And we were going from building to building and I got to the door and I knew there was a girl behind me carrying her books. So I thought, well, I'll be nice. I'll hold the door for her. So I opened up the door and held it for her and she stopped dead and looked at me. She says, I can open my own door, thank you. You say, well, she said thank you. Well, maybe she did. But you get the point? She wasn't willing to take my kindness because she wanted to make some sort of womanizer point, you know, about, well, I can do it myself. I didn't say she couldn't do it. I said, fine, I shut the door and went on. Let her get in by herself. But you know what? You and I, we both know. We've done things for people, helped people, did this, assist, all sorts of things, and there's zero response of thank you. God has been so gracious to us and we won't say thank you. Oh, may we be reminded to be thankful. Now, in verse 17, I think there's a condemnation that's expressed toward those who are unthankful. He says in verse 17, were there not 10 clans, but where are the 9? Let me just list these, and then I'll be done in just a second, I promise. If we're not thankful, we're condemned. I didn't say to hell, it's a judgment against us. Let me offer you 4 things here. To be unthankful, in my opinion, it's arrogance. Because if you're not thankful, you think, I deserve this. That's arrogance. I don't know why the 9 left without coming back. But there was probably 2 or 3 of them in there that says, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. I didn't deserve this leprosy. And so I deserve to be cleansed. And because of their arrogance, they would not give thanks. Why don't you give thanks? Because God owes it to you? Secondly, to be unthankful is selfishness, isn't it? It's all about me. That's why some people don't give thanks. Because, I deserve it. It's about me. Why should I thank you? Third, to be unthankful, I believe, is self-righteousness. Because in some way they're not thankful because they had something to do with it. That's a self-righteous attitude, isn't it? And some people are like that. They just won't be thankful because they just have a self-righteous attitude about themselves. And the last one is this. I think to be unthankful simply is rude. I think it's rude. I think it's rude among men, and I think it's rude toward God. We would do well to remember who God is and what God has done and to say, God, thank you. Let us not be arrogant. Let us not be selfish. Let us not be self-righteous. Let us not be rude. But then you'll notice in verse 18, to be unthankful simply is to rob God of His glory. Because He says, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save or except this stranger. If I am not thankful, if you are not thankful, do you know what we do? We rob God of His glory. Simple fact. Oh, may we be a thankful people. And let us be thankful in all things, especially, my dear friend, you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Be thankful for the salvation that God has given unto you. When's the last time you said, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me from my sin. Thank you for saving me from the fires of hell. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. When's the last time you said, God, thank you for sending Jesus to give me eternal life? Let us be a thankful people. Of all people, Christians ought to be thankful. But then I want to make a quick statement to you, perhaps, that are not saved here today. We find in our passage lepers. Leprosy in the Scripture is a type of sin. And we find in this passage that Jesus healed 10 of them from their leprosy. And I just want to point out to you that if you call upon Jesus, God can heal you of your spiritual leprosy, as it were. God can heal you of your sin. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He left heaven, came to earth. He became a man. God manifest in the flesh. He lived a perfect life in this world. But He was crucified as a sinner, though He never sinned. There was never anything wrong. No guile found in His mouth. But Jesus Christ was crucified by the Romans and by the Jews alike. As He hung there on the cross, something magnificent was going on there. Isaiah 53 tells us that God looked upon the travail of His soul and was satisfied. And what Jesus was doing, He wasn't the victim of a jealous people or a zealous Roman government. Jesus Christ had taken the sins of many upon Himself, and He hung there on the cross to become a substitute for sinners. And when He was dying on the cross, not only was He dying physically, He was bearing the sins of many, the Scripture says. And because of that, I can have eternal life and you can have eternal life. You can have forgiveness of sins. Christ alone is the Savior. Have you repented and believed on the Lord? Are you saved today? Have you given Him thanks for saving you? Are you thankful for what God has done in your life, what He's doing in your life, and what He's going to do? I just want to remind you to be thankful today. And I pray that God would speak to your heart with that and turn you around and bring you to Him so that you would give Him the honor and the glory and the praise. And sinner, I point you to Jesus that you might be saved. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? And we'll sing a verse of invitation. The invitation simply is this, that where you stand, if God speaks to your heart, convicting you, and He's drawing you, repent and believe on the Lord right there. Call upon Him that you might be saved. Perhaps this would be a good time as we sing for you to just bow your head and say, God, I've been remiss in being thankful, and I just want to thank You for saving me. I want to thank You for my family, and thank You for my church, and thank You for my health. Thank You for Your... Boy, we could go on and on, can't we? Be a thankful people. Father, we commit this time to You. We honor You with it. We love You. We thank You for all that You've done and all that You're going to do. We ask You to save sinners and strengthen Your people today that we might glorify Your name. Bless in this invitation as this song goes out. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?